While we're taking our seats, just quickly, coast to coast peoples, anyone wanting to share a testimony? I know you're on the spot. This wasn't planned at all. 5, 4, come on. Come, Freddie, come.
Okay, I'll keep it super. Somebody time me. I'm not allowed to go over 3 minutes. Okay. You're going to time me. Okay. So it was the last evening. We obviously had an epic. I'm sure Marichan's going to throw in some testimony somewhere. It was Pletten. I was one of the MCs, and I was really struggling through the first half of my MC. I couldn't hear what I was saying. I just wanted to get off stage. I didn't want to be there. Coast to Coast, by the way, for those of you that don't know, is a thing that we actually do from Hermanus all the way up to Pletten. We have these outreach events with, like, international rollerbladers, a whole ministry team trusting for people to actually come to Christ. So we were in Plet, had a very hard one. It finally broke. And then afterwards, Matthew, I think, was singing. Yeah, it was incredible. He was just worshiping the Lord, and our whole team was just worshiping. And there was this young girl standing there with a towel around her. And I went up to her, and I started talking to her. But I didn't know why I'm talking to her, because there's really no time to talk to her now, in a sense. You know, I can see she's sort of just come from the swimming pool, and she's really, the beach, you know, big swimming pool. And she's sort of, demokar, she doesn't know what she's doing, and she's standing there, and I can't hear what she's saying, because Matthew is singing so loudly. So I ask her a question, and then she answers, but I can't hear what she's answering. So I feel really stupid. I'm like, why am I talking to her, but I can't leave her alone. And the whole time I'm just talking to her, and the next moment the Lord just drops it in my spirit, she has to get baptized tonight. And I'm like, Lord, I don't even properly know her name yet. I don't know, how are we going to facilitate this? And eventually, we sort of managed to hear each other, but still only every third word. And I eventually ask her, have you ever given your life to Jesus? And she says, well, sort of, kind of, you know, but not really. So I pray the salvation prayer with her, just explaining to her what does it mean. And then I'm like, well, have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? And she says, no, never. So I pray for her to get spirit-filled. And as we say amen, her mother goes ballistic behind me. I don't know where she was up to that point. But she starts screaming at her. So she gets such a fright that she jumps up and she runs off. And I'm like, but Lord, you said she's supposed to get baptized. So I run to another girl standing over there. I'm quickly pray with me. I just had this encounter with a girl, but her mother just lost it. I don't know what we're going to do now. And then I sort of walk off, and I think I actually walked up to Marichan, and I'm like, wow, this just happened. Whoop, the next moment, this girl standing next to me. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, my love, I know this is very sudden on you, but do you want to get baptized tonight? I really feel God wants to do something in your life. And she just looked at me, and she says, let's go ask my mom. I'm like, yes, let's go ask your mom. So now I'm a little bit scared of her mom. We walk up to her mom, and her mom just looks at her and says, well, religion is a personal decision. So if you want to get baptized, but actually we don't have time. Actually, we need to get going. Actually, we don't have time for this now. And the girl just looked at her mom, and she's like, I want to get baptized tonight. I want to get baptized. And the mom sort of looks at her. She sort of looks at the girl. She's like, well, it's a personal decision. So if you really want to, okay. I'm like, great. I'm going to fetch my friends. So I ran, and I grabbed like three or four. Angela was there. Marichan was there. I think Claire and them were also there. And we literally just take her down to the beach. But she's very heavy, got a very, very, lots of really hectic things have happened to her. And she really struggles with anxiety and depression. There's this heaviness over her. And it's probably one of the most radical experiences I've ever had, that as we baptize her and bring her up out of the water, this girl can't stop laughing. Like, it's like she's got a different expression on her face. She's got so much joy. There's such a lightness. Whatever that heavy thing that was pressing on her is just gone. And she just looks at her mom, and she's like, I want to find a church. Oh, by the way, she's from Florida. She's from America. And they're leaving again in a couple of days. And her mom's like, well, you know, they go to a church over there, but they're not really that religious. And this girl's like, she wants to find a church. She wants to go home, and she wants to serve God. Anyway, so that was just a radical of how, if the Lord has an appointment with somebody, he's going to do it, regardless of who you are or what's happening.
Amen. Thank you, Friendly. So, as you can hear, we had quite an awesome trip mission along the coast the last, week? We're back 2 days. Some of us are still waking up because we didn't have a lot of sleep on the trip. But that's just one of the encounters that God had with so many people. We sat one day with a girl for 2 hours, just fighting with me with her, nee? Oh, you're my English and Afrikaans. Okay, so I'm also still waking up. So we're fighting for her to give her life to God, and it was incredible to sit there and see this girl at the end, you know, just coming to God. So many hectic stuff that's happened in her life. And then we have people, we're busy with follow-up. So we have the event in the night, and the next morning, every person that gave their life to the Lord, we follow up with them. And we're sitting there and worshiping, and 2 guys walk past. They hear the singing. They didn't know about the show last night. They just join us because they hear the singing, get saved and baptized just there that day. So God, if he has an appointment with you, I mean, you can try to run. But God knows the place and his timing is perfect. Anyway, so I will share a bit of that as we go along tonight. By the way, happy 2016. I can't believe it's 2016. I don't know what happened to 2015. It just went by so quickly. If you're part of Shofar, you know that our theme for the year is God's building. Okay, if you don't know that yet, now is a good time to find out that our theme for this year is God's building. Yona, do you have that? Pretoria also here in the house today. and the theme, what it means is like from one convergence or the conference to the next, we trust God for word for that year. So the word for this year is God's building. And I'm very excited about that because since I was a little girl, I really loved the house of the Lord. Really love the house of the Lord. I love to come to the house. I dragged my parents to church. Couldn't stay away from the church. And I love God's building. And this is God's house. And the scripture that goes with that, which I have to read. Yeah, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So that's our scripture for the year. Quite powerful. That started already. When was the conference? In October. So that started already in October. We're a few months into the theme, and I believe God still has a lot to speak to us about regarding this theme. Okay, great. I feel I'm going to getting hot here, but it's okay. You just keep your thumbs up if I'm still okay. Okay, let's go. Ephesians 2, 19-20. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Maybe I must just start with a confession. Okay, so let me just start with a confession. So this whole week we're on Coast to Coast. I know I have to preach this Sunday, okay? So now you sort of have a good mission, but you also have to think of what is the word for Sunday. But we're so busy, you don't really get to thinking about what is the word for Sunday. So I'm keep on thinking to myself, I'll just preach about prayer. I mean, I know everything about prayer. Well, I think I know everything about prayer. So I'm just going to preach about prayer. You know, you have that thing in your back of your mind, that backup. You're like, okay, if I don't get to it, I'll preach about prayer. Kind of thing. But since the first day we got onto the bus, God started speaking to me about something, and Angela can vouch for that because she had to hear about it all the time. So I'll ask people, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And as we're driving back, I think, yo, I'm tired, you know, didn't sleep much, and I need my 8 hours. So it was quite hectic, and I'm coming back, and I think, okay, prayer, I've got this. I'm going to preach about prayer, and God, in that moment, gives me the word again for today. So I want to tell you today, this is not my word that I'm preaching here today. If it was my word, it would have been prayer. Okay? And we would have prayed today for Rondebosch or whatever we need to pray for. But the word today is truly something that I believe that God is giving us. And it's not only a word that brings conviction, it's a word that brings encouragement. Okay? Okay, there's the word. So I really just want to encourage you to listen and open. Okay, to what God wants to tell us for the year 2016, for what God wants us to tell us for the building, the house of the Lord. What is he telling us? And the first thing that stands out for me in this scripture is the foundation. Build on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Okay, now firstly, I don't know if we have any builders in the house. You're not a builder. Who's a builder here? No one. Stephen built a coffee shop. Okay. Bit different than a building, but okay. The foundation is very, very important. Okay. I don't know much about building, but I know that when they build at our hospital now, they first put the foundation. Okay. If the foundation isn't stable, the building is not going to be stable. Okay. So the foundation literally, you know, determines how the building is going to look. Is it going to stand? Is it going to be stable? You know, when you lay the foundation, it provides the dimension of the building. So it's quite important. Okay? So when Paul is speaking and he's saying, let us build on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, it's important for us to know what is it that we should build on. I mean, he's speaking to the household of God. He's speaking about the building, God's house, the church. So we should know, as you know, our theme for the year is God's building, what is the foundation? And yeah, I must repent again. So good to get everything out in the light. But when we were having the household meeting, yeah, I don't know if you remember, we had a discussion here in front and someone said, so what's the foundation of this building? And I was so eager to answer that question. I was like, yes, I'll answer this because this is the only one I know. Apparently, I didn't really know. So I said the foundation of it is prayer. Again, prayer, it is important, very important, but that just forms a part of the foundation. So when I was reading this, I actually realized that the foundation that we are building on is God's word. Amen. It's God's truth. Why do we say that? Because the only way we have access to the apostles and the prophets is through the word. It's God's word. Every book you go read and the people that comment about, they say it's God's word. Amen. And it was incredible for me in intercession. That's all that came out today. Someone had the belt of truth. The other one had the light that leads the way. You know, so God is speaking to us today definitely about his word. Okay? What are we building on? What is the thing that gives us stability? Is God's word. This thing is just going to... Okay, it's great. I can do it. Okay. So for us to know as a church, we need to build on the foundation of God's word. Okay? You have that? We're going to build on the foundation of God's word. But now it doesn't stop there. And this is just crazy for me. Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. Okay, so before this, I didn't know what a cornerstone is. Angela, I should actually give you the mic because she explained it to me so well in the bus. I was like, really? No, or someone else. But it was the right it was the right answer. Okay, so cornerstone in these days are like a thing that you put in the corner of a building. And, you know, it was built in this time, and it's dedicated to this or whatever. But that is in, like, our modern times. But in the olden times, they had these rocks that they built with. And the cornerstone was, like, the most perfect stone. Like, the builder took time out to find the perfect stone to provide the cornerstone. Because that stone had the perfect angles. So that when you build, you will build according to that stone. Okay? So if it doesn't make sense yet, say I stand like this and there, you build in those directions. So it must be perfect. Okay, so that cornerstone is perfect and the rest of the building gets direction from the cornerstone. Okay, pretty impressive. Okay, even the foundations that they lay comes from the cornerstone. So when we read the scripture and we understand it like that Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, we realize that the cornerstone gives direction. Okay? If the cornerstone isn't there, the building doesn't make sense. Okay? In other words, the church, us, the building, the body of Christ, if Jesus is not the cornerstone, the church doesn't make sense. Do you agree? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Matthew. And that is what we need to talk about. And what stood out for me about this, okay, everything is standing out today, but at least you're getting the picture, that the cornerstone is Jesus, okay? The Bible even will not make sense to you if you don't see Jesus in the Bible. Amen. You can read the Bible, and you can even do the things that, you know, that the Bible says, follow the commandments and all of those things, love your neighbor. But if Jesus doesn't take priority, if you read the Bible just for reading it, but you're not saying, Lord, show me Jesus, you're actually, you know, just busy with religious stuff. And I feel that God is highlighting to us as a church, as a people, saying, come back to Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone. If he's not there, it doesn't make sense. If Jesus is not the cornerstone in your marriage is not going to make sense. If Jesus is not the cornerstone in your ministry and whatever you're doing, it's not going to make sense. There will be no direction. There's no reason even for you to do that. And then this morning, I had this profound revelation. John 1:14, let me go there. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So I realized that Jesus is the Word. Okay? So the foundation, Jesus doesn't only give direction to the foundation, Jesus is the foundation. Because Jesus is the Word that came to us. Okay, and I feel God is like saying, come to me, see me, make me everything, especially in this year, always, but I feel especially in this year for us as a church, for Jesus to be the foundation. And how do we know that we want Jesus? How do we know we desire Jesus? And one of the things which blew my mind this morning is our hunger for the Word determines our hunger for Jesus. Amen. And this like hit me because I'm like, oh, yo. I've never thought about it like that because the Word is Jesus. How hungry I am to read the Word is how hungry I am to see Jesus. Because the whole Word is about Jesus. From the beginning to the end, even when Jesus was walking with those two guys after he got resurrected, go read what he tells them. He tells them about Jesus in the Old Testament. He's talking about Jesus, okay? Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I don't know if you've ever listened to Christine Kane, but she shouts it. She's like, it's all about Jesus! Jesus! And I almost feel like we can do that today, but as long as we know that when we read the Word, when we're hungry for the Word, it means we're hungry for Jesus. That guy, I don't know, he's an apologetic something. Dallas Willard, he wrote this book, Divine Conspiracy, and I shared this before, that he said, how do you get to know Jesus? You study the Scriptures. And today, for the first time, I actually got that. I'm like, oh, you're looking for Jesus in the Scriptures. You're looking at, you know, what did Jesus do? Lord, I want to see Jesus. I want to know. I want to follow him. I'm a disciple of Christ, so I should know how Christ looks. I should know how Christ would respond to certain things. I should know how I'm supposed to look. And the only way is for me to read about how does Christ look? How did Christ walk this earth? What did he do? The other thing that it says is through worship. Studying the Scriptures and worship. I also last night at Coast to Coast had a powerful encounter with God, where Matthew was worshiping and this one is running around and so on. And just for a moment, it was like it was just me there worshiping God. And that's when you see Jesus and you actually realize, I am nothing. I cannot stand. I cannot do anything. It's about Jesus. When you come to that place and say, all I want, Lord, is for you to be glorified, to see you, to lift your name on high. And I love the other thing that Dallas Willard said, and you all can keep me accountable. Because the moment I read this, I thought, yo, I want to do this. And he said, you must actually take a week out. Take a week out of your schedule. Take a week holiday and go study the Gospels. He says, because that's where you see who Jesus is. He says, it's not going to help you do it in your busy life. It's not going to help, you know, squeeze it in here and there. He says, take a week out and study the Gospels. See who Jesus is. And the moment I read that, I was like, I want to do this. Well, that's a while ago, I think more than a year ago, and I still haven't done it. But that's my desire to go sit and say, I want to see who this Jesus is, because this is what my life is about. You know, I make time for this, and I make time for that mission, and I make time for that. But do I make time to go sit and say, Lord, I want to see you. I want to get to know Jesus. You know, not for me, not just for me, so but that the world can see. Okay, I'm going away over my story. So the question we're asking is, do we know Jesus? Do we know that he's a cornerstone? Is he the cornerstone? But more than that is that he's saying to us, he wants to be the cornerstone. That focus point. Jesus wants to be our cornerstone. That's why he's speaking to us. The worship, the offering everything today is about Jesus. You say, I want to be that center place. And it's incredible. 2016, I believe, we're not going to get a very specific word, you know, individually and even as a church of how it's going to look like or whatever. I just feel we're going to build on last year. I feel more things are going to come, but the difference is we're going to have Jesus as our cornerstone. You know, we're not going to trust in all the other things anymore. We're not going to try all the other things first before we turn to Jesus. We are going to turn to Jesus first. You know, he's going to be the cornerstone. He's the one that we look at first. And what happened to me last year is God started speaking to me throughout the year about Jesus. And if you've been here and you heard a few sermons and so on, you'll recognize some of the dreams I'm going to share with you. But one of the dreams was, I was at a church and I went outside and the next moment the stars started moving in the sky. And what the stars spelled was more time with me. And afterwards, you know, something came out of the sky and hit the church. And what I realized that day is that God is calling us back to him. He's calling us back to him. He's calling us to know that Jesus, that we don't sometimes have time for. He's saying, more time with me. Come back to me. That was my first dream. Then I had a second dream, which I shared quite a bit in the church, was we went to this church building, and it was a, you know, there was different cultures and nations in the church. And then I went out and came back in, and the next moment I started speaking to the church, and I said, Jesus is not here. Who are we worshiping if Jesus is not here? Let's go to where Jesus is. Again, the Lord speaking to me about Jesus. Jesus being there, we worshiping Jesus. Then the other night, one of the evenings, we were busy at School of the Nations, and Stefan was worshiping here, and I went and I stood there and I was worshiping, but I was so distracted, and I just started saying, Jesus, Jesus. I don't know if you've ever done that. Just standing there and just saying, Jesus, I just focus on Jesus. The next moment, the Lord speaks to me and he says to me, how will you worship me if I was standing right here? How would your worship be different if I was standing right here? And I actually couldn't go on. I was just like, I don't know. It's too overwhelming for me even to think about it. If Jesus is in this place, how my worship would change. And I feel God challenging me since that day, that how do you worship me? Do you worship me for the song? Do you worship me how you're feeling inside? Or do you worship me because of who I am and because I'm right here? That was the one thing. Then another thing is that God started speaking to me about Revelation. The book Revelation, and I shared it the one day about who Jesus is and how he appeared to John. That magnificent picture of who Jesus is. And then he writes the letters, and Kenny also shared it. He said, we have forsaken our first love. He said to the one church, you have forsaken, you're doing everything right, but you have forsaken your first love. In other words, again, God calling us back to Jesus. You're still all with me. Okay, because I've got it all in my mind. I just don't know. Does it make sense to you? Okay, excellent. Mooi. Boom. Then at the end of last year, we were busy with quite a bit of deliverance and counseling here at the church. And the one evening I had a dream, and I've shared it at Intercession. Yes, that amazing place, Intercession. Okay. I shared it at Intercession quite a bit, because it rocked me. It shook me, whatever you say. I was coming out of a building, and there was this thing following me. So it was evil people or demons following me. And there was a bus passing, and I saw the bus, and I running to the bus, and I got into the bus, and I was hoping the bus would leave before these things came in, but the things followed me into the bus. And so I was sitting in the bus, and there was literally nothing that I could do or go to, and I knew these things were coming for me. So in my mind, I knew I had to say, go in Jesus' name. But in my mind, for a split second, I was like, what if it doesn't work? So in my dream, in that split second, the thing that goes through my mind is, what if it doesn't work if I say, go in Jesus' name? But I mean, I didn't have another choice, you know. And I said, go in Jesus' name. And as I said it, as I said Jesus, the things fell out of the bus, whatever. They couldn't stand. They couldn't be there. They just couldn't stand when I said the name of Jesus. They fell out of the bus. And when I woke up that morning, the first thing that I thought of was like, oh, you of little faith. You know, that's the first thing. I thought God was speaking to me about my faith. Like, how could I doubt? But then I realized God is speaking to me about the name of Jesus. That even if I don't have the faith, Jesus doesn't change. Who he is doesn't change. His name, the power that there is in the name of Jesus doesn't change. It's not any less because I don't have the faith to speak it. And I was standing here and I was saying to the guys, when we say the name of Jesus, we must know that things happen in the atmosphere. It cannot stay the same. When I proclaim the blood of Jesus over a place, that place cannot stay the same. If I speak to someone about Jesus, that person cannot stay the same. Because Jesus is the one who died for us. Jesus is all powerful above everything. Do we know this Jesus? Do we follow this Jesus? This Jesus that says, I want to be your cornerstone. Hello. It's incredible. And I feel God is just starting today, but he's going to reveal it to us. He's going to say, I want to open your eyes so that you will see Jesus. Because you don't know what's coming. You don't know what's coming, and I want you to follow me in that times. The other thing that happened last year, and now you know my whole story. Okay? Transparency. So God spoke to me about trust. My word for the year actually was trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Well, I thought, wow, that's a pretty scripture, you know? Great. Until things start happening in your life and you realize, sure, you know, the only thing I can do is trust in the Lord now. I can try all my stuff. I can try whatever I think will work. I can do things. I can make my own plans, but that doesn't make sense anymore. That doesn't give me any answers. The only thing that I can do is trust in Jesus. On Coast to Coast, we saw miracles, like God stopped the wind. We couldn't stand in the wind. It was so strong. We were like, literally, I mean, we all thought Coast to Coast people are here, so, you know, just ask someone. But the wind in PE, and PE of all places, you know, the wind blows there quite a bit. And the one moment, it was just like terrifying, like we didn't like it, we didn't want to be there kind of thing. The next moment, there's no wind 2 minutes before the event starts. God stopped the wind just there. You know, we saw things like that. We saw God touching people. We saw miracles like the whole Coast to Coast, there was 137 people that got saved that we have on paper. Not even the rest, those other guys and that other lady is not even on there. Okay, God had an appointment with people. He saved people. But as we were standing and praying, God was twice, the intercession before time, God came to us and he said, first think about who I am before you start praying. So we stood there and for 2 minutes, well, 2 minutes is way too little, whatever. But we stood there and we're like, let's first think about who God is before we start praying, you know, and we can do everything. First put our eyes on God before we think, This thing is about us. Trusting in God first. The previous Sunday, who can believe it's only a week ago, the Coast to Coast team had the privilege to go to the Hermanus Church. Who of you were there? Any of you? Ah, Jeanette, I remember. Okay, great. So there's quite a few people who were there. And Andre Krier. East London. Andre Krier from East London was praying. Yes, he prays also. But he was preaching, and it was a profound, profound sermon. I would almost say go listen to it, if you can download it. But at the intercession, everything we prayed was in the sermon in the first place. So God was like, you better listen today. You know, I've got an appointment with my people. But in the intercession, God started speaking to me and he said, I want to give the people a revelation of who Jesus is. And I think that's what God's busy doing in the whole of the church, to be honest. But what Andre shared with us there, and the thing that stood out for me was like, doesn't matter through what we are going, doesn't matter what situation we are in. If we look through the situation, we should see Jesus right there. Our eyes should always go to Jesus standing in that situation. You know, not looking at the situation. Yes, the situation is there, but Jesus being right in the middle, saying, Lord, I trust you, my eyes will be on Jesus. Sorry, I'm telling you a lot of stories tonight. On the coast to coast, I was praying with one of the ladies, and it's something that's going on in her life that she doesn't have any control over. She cannot make this thing happen. And I'm praying with her, and she's crying because it's hurting her. It's been a few years. She doesn't know what to do. And as I'm praying, the only thing that God tells me, you know, in that situation, you want to pray and say, it's going to be okay. God loves you. You know, you want to give that person promises and say, this will happen or whatever. But the only thing God tells me while I'm praying for her, he said, tell her to trust me. And I said to her, sure, I wish I could give you so many promises now about God and, you know, he's going to come and do this. But the only thing God is telling me is trust me. And she looked at me with tears in her eyes. She says, exactly what God's telling me also. And what I realized about Jesus is that if Jesus is our cornerstone, we trust in Jesus. I heard the story the other day. He said, what if I called you and said to you, in 2 hours you are going to die. Okay? I am busy preparing your tombstone. And I'm going to write on it, Marichen trusted in. And I just want you to complete the sentence for me. Okay? What will I write there? Marichen. Now I'm saying my own name in English. Marichen trusted in what? Money? Marichen trusted in her friends. Even Marichen trusted in a church. Or Marichen trusted in this ministry, or Marichen trusted in her pastors. Or is it going to be Marichen trusted in Jesus Christ? And I think God is just calling us back. He's just saying, enough of all these other things. Now let any other name fade away. You know, trust in me. Trust in me. See what I want to come and do. Okay, so we're still talking about God's building. In Psalm 127, I think it's up here, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain, which makes sense. If Jesus is the foundations, he's the one that gives the direction, and we can just follow. We don't have to worry about, must we do this? How are we going to build this? Is this going to work out? No, it means that you trust in the Lord, and he will build his house. In 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 6, it says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in the scripture, behold, I am laying a Zion, a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. A long scripture, but what I want to get out of that is to tell us that Jesus is a living stone. Just to quickly explain, guys, I know it's hot, but you're doing great. Okay, it's not a long sermon, so we're almost there. But just to explain that when Jesus died and he rose from the dead, he is a living. Okay, he is living. In the Old Testament, when they wanted to come to Jesus or to God's presence and, you know, wanted to meet with God, they had to go into the temple, but the temple was a dead temple. You know, it's real stones, it's dead stones. It's talking here about the new temple, which is a living temple. With a living God, God said Jesus is the living stone, and we all are part of this building. We are all living stones. Okay, we build this temple. Okay. And we go, Kobe disappeared. Okay. When we go back to Ephesians 2:22, it's so precious. I think it's the first, second slide, Ephesians 2:22. Okay, in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. In other words, God dwells where? Between us. Okay, we are making a temple for God. But it starts with in him. And this is a picture I love. A.W. Tozer says the following. He says, say I have something here in front. Say this water bottle. And I want you all to see it. Okay? So as you're sitting now, you're quite, you know, separated from each other. But as you come closer to this thing, what happens to you is you also get closer to each other. As all of us start to move closer to this thing, we also can't help but move closer to each other. You know, if I say stand up and come here, we're all going to be like tight next to each other the closer we get to this. And that's the same with Jesus. The closer we move to Jesus, the closer we're going to move to each other. When does your friend irritate you the most? When you don't sit with Jesus. When you don't read the word. Or your parents or whoever. You know, the closer we move to Jesus, the closer we're going to move to each other, the more God is going to be visible in this church. Jesus is saying, I am the cornerstone, come to me, build on me, nothing else. And it's precious because Pastor Fred said this at the convergence. This was his word. He said, the glory of God is seen amongst us, is going to be seen among us. And that's exactly what it says. It says God's presence will be where we are, but we need to focus on Jesus. We cannot make this work out of our own. I cannot be like, I'm going to love Matthew more. No, it's not going to work. I need to be like, I'm going to go to Jesus. I'm running to Jesus. You know, and that's almost like, it just comes so natural. Because the more I run to Jesus, the more I get to be like Jesus, the more I get closer to other people, the more Christ is manifest in our midst. And in the end of the day, guys, it's not about us. I'm not running to Jesus just for me. And that's one thing we need to remember. Because sometimes we're like, oh, I have to do this. Oh, it's such a struggle, whatever. It's not just for me. We were on this coast to coast. We had church every day on the beach. Okay? We were worshiping God there. God was manifested in our midst every day. People chose Jesus. They ran to Jesus. In other words, me running to Jesus is not just for me. It's so that other people can also see Jesus. My family, the people I've been like praying for, my colleagues, the more I run to Jesus, the more they can see Jesus manifested between us. Because the more I run to Jesus, the closer I get to my brothers and sisters, the more the love of Christ is manifested in our midst. Okay, Jesus is calling us. He's saying, come, I want to show you. There's so much I have in store for you. This year, don't put your trust in those things. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The things are going to come, I can guarantee it. The storms are going to come, the stuff, but it's not going to be nearly as bad or hectic for you because your eyes are going to be fixed on Jesus. Okay. We're all awake. Good. Let's pray.
Hallelujah. Would you please stand on our feet? Scripture says that unless God build, whoever labors in vain. This is very challenging to my heart because it is a new year, and when you are at the beginning of the year, the one thing that comes to your mind is to make plans. But the question that comes to my heart is, how do I position myself? Do I position myself as the builder, or do I position myself as the one that will be instructed but God himself as the builder. Do I give him the right to be the builder, to give me the plan? Because the Bible says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the purpose of God that will prevail. How have we positioned ourselves, you know, just right at the beginning of this year, in terms of how we plan our things? Have we positioned God? Have we given to God his rightful place as the builder? Or did we choose vanity? Which means building our lives from our own understanding, leaning on our own strength. But if you want to choose, just like I'm deciding right now, to ask God to be the builder and to help me know every single day, not just in January, but from today until the 31st of December of this year, that I will choose every single day to allow him to become the builder. You know why? A lot of times we're very quick at making plans without consulting God. Because a lot of time the Lord is not Lord in our lives. I remember when we were coming from coast to coast, I asked Esther just to find out the meaning of Adonai. I really loved the definition. It means the Lord, the one that to whom we submit. But a lot of times we sing, Lord, 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 Lord. But in our hearts there, we haven't allowed him to become the builder. He is not the Lord. And if tonight, looking at your life, looking at the way you make plans, you can really see that the Lord hasn't yet become a Lord. He's maybe God in your life, but not necessarily your Lord. And you want to say, Lord, here I am, I'm coming back to the place of asking you to become the Lord of my life. Just wanted to put your hands up together with me. Just to trust God that God will restore his lordship in your life. Will be the guider. You'll be the one who builds. When the Holy Spirit was promised by Christ, he said, when he will come, he will teach you. He will guide you. So if you trust God for, in terms of that dimension of experiencing God as your Lord, I want you to put your hands up. And we're going to trust God that you will come from every single minute, every single time, that you will be the Lord. Imagine if every second, every minute of your life will resemble his will, will resemble his plans, will resemble what he wants. Then every moment will be a moment of authority and victory. That's why every time Christ prayed for the sick, they were healed. Every single time. Why? Because he said, I do what I see my Father doing. There was a perfect agreement between the sound of his life and heaven. There was a perfect agreement between whatever he did with whatever the Father was doing. And that's understanding the lordship of God in our lives. And this is what we want. Just want to encourage you to put your hand up, because you know, when God was calling Samuel, when he called him for the first time, Samuel didn't know it was God. The second time, he didn't know it was God. The third time, then Eli told him, when he will call you, say, here I am, your servant, speak. You know what? When God called him for the first time, God did not continue the conversation. God did not continue speaking until the moment when he responded. Then God spoke. Then God went into details. God did not go into details until he responded. And that's why we're putting our hands up. I just want to encourage those who put their hands up to come in front. We're going to pray for them. And we're going to trust God to complete the work. Hallelujah. We love the scripture that was shared when the sermon started, the one that we had from Convergence, that God is the one who builds the walls of Jerusalem. He gathers the scattered and he heals those who are broken. He heals those who are wounded. If tonight you are trusting God for healing, either in your own life or someone in your family, just want to encourage you to come forward and we're going to pray together, because we are in a season where God is healing. the enemy as well is oppressing a lot of lives with disease and sickness. And we're going to trust God that He would come and complete the healing in our hearts. We don't want to carry on in this year doing a lot of stuff and just letting the enemy do whatever he wants. If you're trusting God for healing, please come forward.